Well, Enzeem, it seems like golf season is finally getting close to arriving here in Illinois. The sun is out today. It's 69 degrees, and we're supposed to be in the 70s, and it looks like we're going to have a run of days now here in the 70s, and I know that that'll make all the golfers happy if we can finally get some steady weather. Unfortunately, it's been occasionally one or two warm days, and then the next day there's a 25-degree drop in temperatures. And players here have been alternating between 50-degree weather and 70-degree weather, and some steady 70-degree weather would be a good thing.
70 degrees is a wonderful thing. I tell you, we had the best round we've played since we moved from Port St. Lucie, PGA Village in Port St. Lucie, over here to Sarasota. This week, playing with another Chicago buddy of mine, who I used to work with at the Chicago Sun-Times, named Herb Gould. So it was kind of fitting that we haven't seen each other in over 4 years, but we covered a lot of different sports together, including golf. It was nice the weather was good for that.
Len, we actually had a media day here on Monday, and that's a wonderful thing, seeing media days back where they belong in the regular format of actually going to the golf course, interviewing people face-to-face, playing some golf, and discussing the golf world and the golf tournaments with our fellow brethren in the media. And, you know, it is time to put an end to these virtual Zoom media days and things like that. And I really give credit to the Western Golf Association for realistically being the first one to step up and do that. And I know that there are some other media days coming up, but the first step was made by the WGA, and kudos to them.
You can cover golf as a sport that you could cover it by looking at the TV, by looking at the scoreboard, by making phone calls, but nothing beats being there in person, be it media days for pre-tournament backgrounding to the being right on scene for a tournament itself. So we got to get back to normal. I've missed a lot of tournaments that were annual trips for me this year because of the COVID. I'm thinking they're pretty close to being over, if not completely over. Let's all hope.
The news coming out of the Evans Scholar Invitational, which is coming up the very last weekend here in May, wrapping up, I believe, on May 30th, running May 27th through 30th. Part of the news is it's back at the Glen Club this year. Due to the date change last year because of the pandemic, the championship was moved to Chicago Highlands Club down closer to Oak Brook. And now it'll be back at the Glen Club this year, and I think everyone's excited to see it back there, including several local players that are going to be participating. We're told by the tournament that Nick Hardy will be playing. Vince India, who won an Illinois Open at the Glen Club, will be playing. Brad Hopfinger, who won a Illinois Open at the Glen Club, will be playing. And there may be another player, too, that has some Illinois ties that could be in the field. And there will be some sponsors exemptions getting named about next Wednesday, around May 19th. Their committee will vote on three sponsor exemptions. They have three because, I mean, normally they get four, but the WGA's policy is the top two finishers of the previous year's Western Amateur get two of those exemptions. But the winner of the Western Amateur last year at Crooked Stick, Pearson Cody, will be playing at the NCAA National Championships that week and has turned the WGA down for his exemption, but the runner-up is going to play. So the WGA has three picks to make. It'll be interesting to see who they are.
The Evans Scholars Invitational this particular year is going to be the best chance for people right within the Chicago area to see the best players available, because the BMW Championship is out of town for the next 2 years, and the John Deere Classic isn't really far away. It's going to be a great event in early July. But the Evans Scholars Invitation brings to you the stars of the future, and they include a pretty good array of young talent, most of the names of which you've already mentioned are coming. So it should be a real treat to see just who comes out of that one. I've always enjoyed that tournament because you get up close and personal with the players, and you see some great golf.
Well, as of right now, I believe 22 of the top 25 players on the Korn Ferry Tour have committed to that tournament already. One of the three that is not coming at this time and is realistically not coming at all is Will Zalatoris, who took second place at the Masters. There still is a little time for a couple of those other top players to actually commit to the tournament, but they have yet to do so. Len, one of the big topics was the raise in purse on the Korn Ferry Tour and the Evans Scholar Invitational, which was $500,000 last year. It'll be $600,000 this year. Next year, and this is a tour mandate that was in place even prior to the pandemic, purses will go up to $750,000 in 2022 and $1 million in 2023. And the WGA on Tuesday announced that First Midwest Bank is coming aboard as a presenting sponsor for 4 years, and they're not done talking to other companies who may want to get on board with this tournament going forward.
Yeah, you know, that was a development that surprised me, the mandated increase in purse on the Korn Ferry Tour. I'm all for the players getting more to play for more money. I think it's a great thing. I have a little bit of, and I'm glad it's working out for the Evans Scholars to get some sponsorship for that tournament. I have, on a broader basis, some fears that this kind of a policy, with the purses going up so much so quickly, that there will be a few tournaments that just don't make it in subsequent years, and that there'll be a few less tournaments for the guys to play in. But we'll see. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe all the people in that area will be able to go ahead and raise enough sponsorship money, and but they'll put on bigger and better tournaments. I hope that's what happens, but I do have a little reservations at this point.
Len, the second major of the year is coming up next week at Kiawa Island in South Carolina, just south of Charleston, South Carolina. And the Kiawa Island Resort, operated by our old friend from the Illinois PGA section, Roger Warren, who spent several years down at Seven Bridges Golf Club in Woodridge. And I have been informed that Roger will be joining us on Golfers on Golf Radio tomorrow about 4:30 to talk about the resort and the championship. The resort gearing up to host the PGA for the second time. Was last played there 9 years ago when Rory McIlroy won. And, of course, Rory coming in after winning last week. So hopefully keep that swing going the right way, as he did in North Carolina at Wells Fargo, and keep it going for a possible repeat at Kiawa. Also, other news in regards to Kiawa. Proud to say that my fellow John Hersey High School alum from Arlington Heights, Brad Merrick, went to the PGA Club Pro Championship in your old neighborhood down there, in Port St. Lucie, at the PGA Golf Club, and he qualified as one of the 20 club pros to play in the PGA Championship this year. And Brad will also join us on Golfers on Golf Radio tomorrow, along with Roger Warren. And we're looking forward to really previewing the PGA Championship on the show this Saturday.
Yeah, Brad tied for 8th for St. Lucie in the club pro. That was a great showing. It was his first time ever in the Club Pro Champions, first time he was eligible. And, of course, Chicago will have one other rooting interest. Kevin Streelman is among the players in the field, so he's ready to have a big breakthrough in one of these again, and so wish him nothing but the best. My remembrances of Keogh are really fond ones. Played over there on the ocean course on a real brutal, cold, wet, rainy day about 3 or 4 years ago, and Roger Warren's son, I believe his name was Mike, his son was our caddy, and we were almost at the course to ourselves out there, but it was a great day, a great memory, and I tell you, that course is, there's a lot of other good courses as part of that resort, but of course, the tournament course is, of course, one of the most famous courses in the country, so I think we're in for a great week next week at the PGA. It's always been, I think of that as my favorite major because the field is always so good and it's always a well-run event, and I'm really looking forward to this one.
The PGA Championship always has an outstanding field. We know that it's all pros. There won't be any amateurs qualifying their way in or getting in because they won a prominent amateur tournament somewhere, but it should be a great week for golf next week at Kiawa, and my story is about the same as yours. I arrived there coming back from the PGA merchandise show one year, about four or five, well, maybe about 6 years ago now. Pulled into Charleston on a Monday night, and it was 78 degrees at 7:30 at night. People were out walking around, enjoying outdoor dinners, and I woke up the next morning, it was 42 degrees, and went out and played with Mike Warren as my caddy as well, and by the time we finished, it was 37 degrees out. The wind was howling, and I had lunch next to a fireplace in the clubhouse. So, the conditions can change there, and it'll be interesting to see how the players handle it. Speaking of the PGA Merchandise Show, they have released their dates. Everything back on track next year, 2022 Outdoor Demo Day at the Orange County Golf Center, and then 3 days over at the Orange County Convention Center, and it'll be interesting to see how that show returns, and hopefully it comes back close to what was normal in the past and how many of the vendors will be back there at the Convention Center.
I thought that was just great news when I heard the PGA Merchandise Show is taking definitive steps to make for its return next year. I know that all the listeners and just avid golfers in Chicago would not identify quite as much with this one because it's an industry-only show. It gets 40,000 visitors each year from various parts of the golf industry. It's not an open-to-the-public thing. But so much happens at that show that affects the rest of the year in the way of the announcement of new gear, new equipment, travel destination sites, you name it. Anything going on with golf is affected by that show. So you can bet I'll be there. I've been there an awful lot of them in a row, and can't wait for the next one.
Some of the guidelines have been loosened up in recent years about who can attend the show. And I know when I first went there in the late 90s, it seemed like it was media and golf pros and, you know, people from equipment companies. But now you see a variety of people coming from clubs everywhere. The head pros, the assistant pros, the directors of golf, and other general managers from private courses, public courses, resort golf courses. Boards of directors are now, if you're on the board at your club, you're getting allowed in as well because sometimes the pros or the superintendents want to show the board up close and personal what they should approve in terms of purchases and put into their budget for the club that year. And, you know, we're seeing people from even public courses, general managers, pros. Sometimes if you have we'll call it a government-run course, which in Illinois here could be a county course, it could be a park district course, could be a city course. Well, we're seeing people from those organizations travel with the golf people to come to these shows. So there are more and more people that finding a way in. Obviously, the people who buy merchandise are all coming in, the buyers. Whoever orders the shirts, the shoes, the golf balls, the clubs, the golf bags, the golf gloves, and the caps, and anything else you're putting on display, those people are coming to the show as well. And there's also, I believe, people sometimes who run multiple outings and things like that are coming to the show. Also, not only looking at what they need for their events, but also recommending to the places where they do business of what they'd like to see in place to bring all of the people who participate in their events to various golf courses.
Yeah, I tell you, that show is so big, and I don't know how it could get any bigger, but there's certainly the demand for more people that want to come to it. I wish that, for the sake of others, that they could just come and see the demo day, the day before the doors open at the Orange County Convention Center. It's a huge, huge range, circular range. It's a very pleasant walk to go all the way around it, to test equipment, to see old friends in the golf world. And it's just one of the nicest days of the year, especially if the weather is good. I've been walked that route when it was raining and it wasn't quite so pleasant, but, the demo day for the PGA Merchandise Show is one of my favorite events in all of golf.
Len, this week we had some sad news up here in town. We lost the world of golf lost a couple of really good people. First off, longtime teaching professional who'd won numerous awards, Bill Abrams, who has been down in the far south suburbs at the Lincolnshire Club down there, Balmoral Woods. Bill Abrams shockingly passed away. There isn't really details as to why. I was told that Billy was still in his 50s and came as quite a shock to a lot of people. On the other side of the coin, Roger Moore, former Western Golf Association president, who had a real historical home right along the Knollwood Club up there in Lake Forest, was very active in the community, passed away at the age of 90. Roger was chairing the Centennial Book Committee as Knollwood approaches its 100th anniversary just 3 years out from now, and is working with one of our media partners, Tim Cronin, on that book. And Tim spoke to him only a few days before he died about the next meeting and reviewing details of certain things that Roger wanted to see included in the book for the club. And so our condolences to everybody that knew Bill and Roger, both great people, part of golf for a long time.
Yeah, Bill was a fellow who I knew by reputation for years and years. I mean, as one of the very best teaching pros in all of Chicago. And I got to know him much more recently at an outing over there put on by Cheryl Justack for her, the publisher of Golf Now Chicago, over at Balmoral Woods. And Bill and I had some good talks there. We got acquainted and got to know him pretty good. And he was a very nice guy. And I heard from him a little bit after that, you know, via social media and things like that. But he's a young guy. He was a young guy, and his death makes that his death especially tragic. And my sympathies are out to the whole family there.
Len, the topic that you and I have discussed several times on some of the podcasts is the new clubhouses that are going up in the area. There's four public courses getting clubhouses. The first one that's going to open will be the Preserve at Oak Meadows. There's not an official opening date yet. We have learned that it's not likely going to open in May. June is probably more likely, even though it could stretch into early July. But June is probably the target opening date there. We're looking for the one at formerly known as Sportsman's, now known as Heritage Oaks, to see their clubhouse open in late July, early August. That should open when the golf course does. Further into the fall will be the clubhouse at Fox Run and Elk Grove. September, October, likely to be opening dates there. And we have learned that construction may not even start on the Settlers Hill Clubhouse until early in 22. It should be underway. Construction should be underway before the golf course opens next summer. But the clubhouse may not be ready when the course opens, and Settlers Hill could be operating out of a temporary trailer for a few months until the clubhouse comes around over there.
It is amazing to me. I think I've been saying this too many times, but it's amazing to me that so many clubhouses are the story this year in the Chicago golf market, because usually what you would hear in the spring would be course updates, course renovations, things like that, and maybe a clubhouse here and there. But this year, the clubhouses are the story at this point of the Chicago golf season. It's exciting. These places are going to really dress up the whole golf industry, and it goes across the whole Chicago market. I'm especially looking forward to the one at Oak Meadows, the first one to open. It's going to start a trend of a whole bunch of exciting new openings going forward for almost a year. Probably we'll be seeing new golf courses opening around us.
Len, in the world of equipment, TaylorMade Golf has been sold yet again, and this time to a Korean firm that paid, I believe, a number of $1.6 billion. And that is opening some eyes around the world and in the golf industry. The question is, did they overpay?
Boy, I tell you what, it sure seems like it to me. But that numbers there were just staggering, and they weren't just staggering to me. I've been reading all the golf publications and seeing what the websites and all, and I'm not alone in feeling that way. I just I can't get over that number. But I guess we'll see. I mean, if somebody's willing to pay for something of that race, it must be worth it. I don't know. TaylorMade is a great company. They've done a lot of great things. But boy, that dollar figure is a real eye-opener.
Well, you have to wonder if that is going to increase prices on TaylorMade products so that the firm that bought the company can start recouping some of those dollars. As a matter of fact, there is a story this morning that Callaway Golf is starting to review its pricing going forward due to the fact that there have been price increases in metal and graphite and many of the different components that go into making golf clubs, rubber prices as well that probably go into the grips. Regardless, it sounds like as soon as Callaway completes their price reviews, we could be seeing some price increases along the board from them. And I got to believe if the price increases are affecting Callaway, they're affecting Titleist and Ping and Mizuno and, you know, all of these other companies, major companies that make golf clubs.
I mean to be a doomsayer here, but I think you're absolutely right. I think that that price increases are going to be inevitable now. It's too bad, but you know, the golf industry came through the pandemic quite well. People are playing. There's a lot of people out there playing. There's going to be a demand for new equipment, and the sale of TaylorMade probably reflects that very thing. So, you know, we're probably going to have to pay a little more, but the equipment on the line is well worth studying. There will be something new for everybody out there, I'm sure.
Well, the two major equipment companies here in Chicago, both Wilson Golf and Tour Edge Golf, have been known to have a slightly better price point on their clubs. Could be a boost for both companies. Len, the Walker Cup was played last weekend down towards your neck of the woods. It was in Florida, anyway, over at the historic Seminole Golf Club. And the story that sort of circulated through the victory, the third consecutive victory by the team from the United States, was that a lot of the players got sick, and it got pretty nasty. Players were needing IVs and from some sort of a stomach flu that was going around through both teams. And I think in the end, it was just great that the matches were exciting. They were competitive, and the guys at least all got a chance to play.
Well, it's great drama. Great drama. I'm afraid that this particular Walker Cup is going to be overshadowed by this very strange virus. It wasn't a virus, apparently. It has no relation to COVID, we're told. I don't have any reason to think it was, but I've never heard of an event that was so dramatically affected. So many players on both teams got sick. You know, it overshadowed the great golf and the drama that we see, because this made this Walker Cup quite a bit different than its predecessors, unfortunately.
I received news this week. Unfortunately, one of the great charity golf outings, and there are plenty of them in the Chicago area for a variety of causes. They raise money for all sorts of important organizations and things like that. But the Illinois Patriot Education Fund golf event that for years was held at Medina, it's recently been moved to the Aurora Country Club. Unfortunately, due to some fallout yet because of COVID, they have had to cancel the event for the second year in a row, and they are looking forward to having the golf outing again in 2022. But the event scheduled for June 1st at the Aurora Country Club has been canceled, and they are hoping that people will still donate to the Illinois Patriot Education Golf Fund. And so go online, check out the IPEF. And if you can make a donation, they've got a lot of requests from veterans' families that are needing scholarship assistance for college scholarships for not only some of the veterans themselves that want to go back to school, but their kids that are trying to attend college. And Len, perhaps a product that might have been needed down there at the Walker Cup, but what's starting to make a splash, so to speak, at the golf world is the BioLite Energy products, and they're calling it the On the Course IV, and it's been made by a team of doctors and nutrition specialists who actually have done a lot to improve what goes into and how they're administered IVs. And these new products in three different flavors are out there to keep golfers from dehydrating, especially when things get real toasty out on the golf course. What have you heard about BioLite?
BioLite, as I kind of just seen what I've seen on the internet and on the website, very interesting product. But you know, this kind of stuff is really kind of come on. I did an interview at the early stages of the pandemic with Billy Horschel, who had got involved with one of the companies. He's been a big spokesman for it, for the overall introduction of new medical health products in the golf world. He tells me they help him and as well as his aging father dealing with injuries and not just in energy as well. It's there's something worth studying. I wish I could say I knew more about it, other than the fact that they're out there and growing. It's another way the world has been changing, and this is one that appears to be changing for the better.
Well, and you mentioned Billy Horschel, and I know he and some other players are starting to get involved in the CBD products, and as they get endorsement deals, and I think it's not just going to be the men, it's going to be the women as well that are getting on board with this. But I just received a shipment of products to test from Altwell products. I believe they're located out in California, and we're going to start working through those. And it's a brand I'm not familiar with, but they have been in all sorts of health and wellness products for years. The company's been around for a long time, but they have finally branched out into the CBD world. So after I go through those and I go through the six bottles of BioLite Energy products, and I'm told they really don't want to be compared to more popular products that people know, like Gatorade and Powerade, because they say they're a different type of energy drinks. So once we know more about BioLite and where to get them up here in the Chicago area, or if you're going to have to order online for a while, we'll let everybody know about that. But I sense from the first couple of bottles of BioLite that I have tried, the flavoring is a little different. And of course, people will remember Gatorade in its early days didn't taste very well either. It was healthy for you, but it didn't taste very well. So over the years, obviously, those products were made to taste a lot better. BioLite doesn't taste as good as Gatorade, but it's not bad. Let's put it that way. But what it might be is more healthy for you. So we're doing a little research there. And if you come across, we encourage our listeners, if they come across some of these products, that they may want to test them out for themselves as well. With that, Len, we're up against the clock here. We're out of time for another week, but we'll look forward to talking again towards the end of next week, probably right after the PGA Championship at Kiawah Island gets underway. And Len, we'll look forward to hearing your contributions during Golfers on Golf Radio tomorrow on AMA 20 WCPT.